Hello, and welcome to an episode of Drinking the Kool-Aid. This is a comedy podcast dedicated to the mysterious. My name is Cassidy.
My name's Amanda.
And here we are in our studio with our first full-length YouTube episode.
Don't jinx it.
Oh, yeah, that's so true.
You never know what can happen.
That's like the time where I was like, welcome to this video episode. This is amazing. And then the video file immediately corrupted.
Yeah.
And we had nothing.
Correct.
Whoopsies.
And then I think actually that same episode when I was all, oh, we're doing this on video, blah, blah, blah. I got like 3 DMs from people being like, where's the video?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, sorry about that.
That's a good question. We also don't know where the video is. But it's a beautiful day outside today.
Stunning.
Gorgeous.
Gorgeous, darling.
After a really fun rainy day yesterday.
This whole weekend was kind of like rainy and cold and cloudy. Mm-hmm. Like last week was really sunny and warm, and then this weekend was cold.
It does feel like it's only rainy and shitty on the weekends.
I know.
Which feels a little bit like a personal attack from the weather.
Luckily, we don't have 9-to-5 weekday jobs. So
that's true.
It doesn't really affect us.
I don't have a job at all. I just kind of meander around town and see what shakes loose.
I mean, I wasn't going to say it, but I'm glad you did.
I am excited. Ooh, I did buy my ticket for Universal Studios this week.
Oh, yes. When this episode drops, that is where we'll be.
Oh, yeah. Check out our Instagram right now.
Yes.
Literally right now.
We are there.
We're going to Universal Studios with Stephen Ray Morris for his birthday.
Happy birthday, Stephen.
Happy birthday, Stephen. Yay.
I'm so excited. After this weekend that I had at work, I really need it.
Yeah, it did sound like you had the weekend from hell.
I did. A lady screamed in my face and told me I was the worst server ever. And it wasn't even my fault. She lied. She did.
She was making shit up.
She literally made things up.
Yeah. People do like to do that quite a bit, actually.
And I told her. I said, ma'am, frankly, that's impossible what you're saying.
Honestly, that makes me so happy that you did that because I can't stand. Nothing makes my skin crawl more than when someone is so blatantly wrong and then like a manager or a server or somebody comes out and is like, I am so sorry. Here's everything comped. Here's everything. But like, no, I'm sorry.
No.
The customer rarely right.
Rarely.
Also, do you know where that saying comes from that the customer is always right?
I do not.
It actually comes from the customer is always right when it comes to taste. So it's saying like if you order a steak well done, the customer is right that it tastes best well done because that's how they prefer their steak. It doesn't mean the customer is always right as in I've been sitting here for 20 minutes and nobody refilled my water glass when actually they've been there for 3 minutes. That doesn't mean that they're always right. But like we took that shit way too far in America and like really fucked it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's not like that in other countries.
And this particular woman was not right. And I told her. So.
No, I love that. I think more people should be told that they're wrong, personally.
Except us.
Well, I'm not wrong.
Oh. I am a lot, but I don't want to be told.
Yeah, don't tell me.
Don't
Just
tell
talk
me.
About me behind my back like a normal person.
I do feel like we have a lot to discuss today.
Oh, do we?
I mean, I think we do.
Okay.
So first and foremost.
I just really, I have no idea where my phone is and I had a bunch of notes, but they're gone now.
Where
so.
Is your phone?
I have no idea. I thought it was in my back pocket. It's not on the desk. It's nowhere. So that means I'm just never going to get it back.
Do you need it?
You know what? Your cat probably has it. It's playing games.
You know what? I was actually just going to say one of my animals probably has it. Maybe we can FaceTime them. But we can't because my phone is recording.
Yeah.
So damn, we're shit out of
whoopsie
luck.
Whoopsie daisy. My bad.
Well, something I do want to talk about. O.J. Simpson died.
He did. May he rest in piss.
Like, how crazy?
Very crazy. He was a gaslighter to the end. He literally posted like two or three weeks ago being like, people who are saying I'm in hospice are so wrong. Look at me. I'm on a golf course. And like he really was in hospice because he had terminal cancer.
Oh.
That's what he died from.
I saw a tweet, I can't remember who it was from, but they posted, like, reposted the video of that, of him saying that, and they went, what? O.J. Simpson was a liar?
Real.
And I was like, that's funny.
Gaslighter to the end. Listen, he was found innocent by a jury of his peers, so I'm not even talking about him being an alleged double murderer.
Alleged.
But I can say with full certainty that he was a wife beater and a huge piece of shit. So, once again, no love lost over here for O.J.
I just really wish that we got a deathbed confession from him.
Me like too. You, that would have been so him too to do that.
And like you just couldn't have given us that.
Maybe he did. And it's just not. It's not. Hasn't been made public
yet. All right. Well, I'll be waiting.
I'm waiting patiently.
Impatiently.
Impatiently. You know I love a deathbed confession.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like I want one.
I live for it.
We'll see.
Such a pensive breath you just took.
Because I just really like it would have been awesome.
Yeah, if he would have confessed.
And he really fumbled the bag there. Like, he could have given that to us.
Yeah.
Drinking the Kool-Aid ink.
I just feel like, how do people keep secrets like that for so long? Because if I have one too many glasses of wine, I immediately start spilling the beans on everything that's ever happened to me ever.
I tell everyone everything.
Yeah, I've never kept a secret in my life. I'll keep other people's secrets, my own secrets. Nope.
I don't keep other people's secrets in the sense that, like, I tell you.
Yeah, of course, but I don't know anybody that you're ever telling me things about.
Yeah, but I'm still not keeping their secrets.
That's true. Actually, I would say yes, because you know what? It wouldn't bother me if I told you a secret that was, you know, particular, like, the people in Long Beach, I didn't want them to hear it, and you told, like, a friend from New York. That wouldn't bother me. Like, if I found that out.
Good to know.
Yeah, I just mean, unless it's something, like, really, like I committed a crime. And they could turn me in. But if it's just something like embarrassing that I did and I'm like, this is so embarrassing, please don't tell anyone because I don't want any, you know, like whatever. Like,
yeah.
Like, oh, I threw up in the bar bathroom last week. It was really embarrassing or whatever. Right.
But I'm sorry. I told the entire podcast that
you did. So I was just trying to think of something that's like regional. Like, oh, I don't want anyone to know because I don't want to get kicked out of that bar or whatever. Right.
Right. Right. Right. Right.
And you told like a friend in New York. I'd be fine with that. That's
okay.
Fine.
As long as I have your consent.
I really don't have a lot of secrets. I mean, you know.
Yeah, because you're an open book.
I'm pretty open. Yeah.
I don't think I have any secrets either. Like, I myself am an open book.
Yeah, me too. I think that's what confuses me when people aren't. Sometimes I do get myself in trouble where I'm like, oh, I didn't know that was a secret.
Yeah.
So, like, you have to tell me. Like, if something's a secret, you have to tell me. And if you do tell me, like, this is a secret, please don't tell anyone, then I will keep it. But, like, If you don't preface it with that, it's going in the group chat pretty quick.
I will put it in the group chat even if I'm told, don't tell anyone this is a secret. I go, absolutely.
You're like, it's between me, you, and God, and Cassidy, and Kate, and the Pod Girl Winter group chat.
Right. Correct.
Yeah.
Within 2 seconds of someone telling me something, I am on my phone.
The anatomy of a female group chat is really something that should be studied by scientists. Our group chat alone is, I mean, that's like an archaeological dig. If we ever all died and like, you know, like our group, like the receipts of our group chat
it
got brought
so
up.
So unhinged. The way we can go from having the biggest fight ever where we're all so mad at each other to 2 seconds later talking about the silliest thing ever and laughing is wild.
We also will sometimes be having 3 separate conversations at once, one being a fight. Like we'll be fighting with each other.
Yeah.
Like me and Amanda will be like going at each other's throats about something stupid, but then we also are discussing like a piece of celebrity drama.
Mm-hmm.
So there will be text messages of me being like, well, if that's how you feel, Amanda, I guess just do whatever feels right. And she'll be like, you know, I am gonna do whatever feels right. But like in between those text messages we'll be like, did you see that new Kristen Stewart photo shoot? And she'll be responding like, yes girl, she killed it, like she looks so good. And then like the next text will be like, you know what, maybe we should take some time away from each other. And then the next text will be like, so what are we doing for dinner tonight?
I do actually remember a specific conversation where we were fighting and then I think you were like, sorry to change the subject, but did you guys see this and this? And I was like, oh my god, yeah. And then we just stopped fighting.
the pause is very important. I really do think that is a good trait for any relationship, be it friendship or romantic or whatever.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If you can go, hey, can we pause this really quick because something else is happening right now?
Right.
And it has saved a lot of time for me, the pause.
I love it. Is it called the millennial pause?
No, the millennial pause is that thing that millennials do where they like start a video and then they look and they pause and then they start talking.
Oh, I didn't know what that was.
Okay, well... Yeah.
As a millennial, had
or
no
it's
idea.
That thing where they go like, oh, what's that? Like if I was like, so, like they always talk like that. I don't know.
Oh.
So I'm a millennial. I don't know why. I'm making fun of my own people. This is white on white crime right now. Like being like, so today I went to the farmer's market and you wouldn't believe it. I found some organic produce. Like that pause is the millennial pause.
You sound like a Poindexter.
That's kind of the whole thing. And they do that weird like with their faces. Have you seen that?
Yes.
Yeah, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
For anyone that's just listening at home, she's putting her finger up in the air, like, you know, like the nerdy kids in, like, Urkel. It's very Urkel.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, if you ask
and
me.
And doing, like, a lot of weird face thing. Like, you're moving your mouth a lot. Like, you seem like you have TMJ. Sorry, what?
Sorry to change the subject, but the finger up like this is giving me, okay, this new TikTok trend.
Okay.
Have you seen it?
No, I mean, I don't know.
Okay, there's this guy on TikTok who it's just like he's kind of dorky and he just like plays sports games and he does this thing where
sports games
like video games or something.
Okay.
And he does this thing where he puts his finger up in the air and he goes, hey, brother. So if you do that to a guy, you go up to a guy and you go, hey, brother, with your finger up in the air. They all of them know what that means.
I have never seen this. I feel like he stole this from me.
I think that's what I was thinking. My husband literally told me about this 2 nights ago, and I was like, Cassidy says, hey, brother.
You're like, that's Cassidy's thing. I do love to put my finger in people's faces also.
I was like, I don't understand. And then he shows me like 20 videos of this kid, and I was like, I still don't understand. Like, and he's the dorkiest guy I've ever seen in my entire life. And all of these bros like love him, and they're like, hey, brother. And then they do this like weird.
It's this thing where it's really just like a weird form of bullying where people get obsessed with people who are a little weird or different and they like make them go viral ironically, but then they are viral, so they are popular.
I don't know. This kid is living his best life right now.
No, that's what I'm saying is it's like it starts out, they do it because they're making fun of this kid, mm-hmm. right? But then hate watching, ironically watching, it doesn't matter, the views are still there, you still get paid.
So true.
So you will literally make this person that you think you're better than and making fun of a millionaire.
Oh yeah.
Because you're trying to make fun of them, and then it becomes unironically cool because he is a millionaire
and now he's like so cool, like all of these people are like so obsessed with him. He has millions and millions and millions of followers.
Yeah. I've never heard of him, but I've just seen that phenomenon like quite a few times where I'm like, oh, you guys were making fun of this person and now look, they're like a millionaire.
Yeah.
Because you made fun of them into out
of
obscurity.
And you know what I say to that? Good for him.
I know. I would love to get made fun of into being a millionaire.
Me too. Well, yeah, I would. Like in the long run, like when I would be like, oh, looking back, I'd be like, that it's fine now because I'm rich. But in the moment when it's happening, it definitely would not be.
Yeah, because you're self-aware enough to know that, like, if people were doing it to make fun of you, you would pick up on it. You wouldn't be like, wow, these people unironically love me. You'd be like, oh, no, I can tell they're making fun of me. And now I have to change my entire personality.
And then I would stop.
Yeah, and then you'd disappear.
I would change my name. And I would move to a different country.
Oh, my gosh. Like, a couple days ago, maybe it was last week, I had, like, a mental breakdown and was like, how am I supposed to just live my life knowing every single thing I've ever done and like everybody just knows who I am and like knows what I did? And then I thought maybe I should just move to Europe and change my name and I can just ruin this new person's reputation. Like, my reputation's cooked. It's never coming back. Everybody knows. I'm not beating the bitch allegations, okay? Like, they're there and they're real and they're valid. So like, maybe I can create a new persona and I can just go ruin that reputation in a different way.
How would you ruin it? What do you think? You would be too nice?
No, I probably would just, you can't run away from who you are. So I probably would just once again be a huge bitch in public all the time. And on the internet also.
But you would have to like, I would say go to a different country, change your name, learn the language. Like, it has to be a whole nother language.
Oh, this is a whole new me. Yeah. I'm like dyeing my hair. I'm wearing contacts.
Like,
suddenly
you're
I have brown eyes. I'm learning German. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm like a whole new person. I wear lifts in my shoes, so I'm 2 inches taller.
So you're just being bitchy in German.
Yeah, which I think that's what that language was made for, so
I
that's
think
okay.
So. Un kleiner weißer Schneemann.
That's what she said,
yep.
Baby.
Look it up.
Yeah, but I was like, man, how am I just supposed to like live? And then you look at these people who are like on reality TV shows and stuff who have like the worst things they've ever done are like on TV and everyone's seen them and they're just chilling.
Okay, but I listen to a lot of reality television show people on podcasts, as you guys know. because I like to hear like the behind the scenes or what they're thinking or when they're in drama, which they always are, or a scandal, whatever. And I was just listening to one the other day and they were like, the girl was like, how do you like move past like when there's a scandal or there's drama, or the internet hates you? And she goes, because it'll always just stop eventually.
That's so true.
And I was like, wow.
That it's my favorite Tyler, the Creator quote, where he tweeted, what do you mean you're getting cyberbullied? Just close your eyes.
Because it'll happen for a couple days. And then guess what? A week later, someone else is going to be in the...
And so, see, that's where like Sandoval, right? With like the Scandoval or whatever, where he went wrong is he should have just kept his mouth shut and apologized and like just disappeared from the internet for a minute. And instead he like insisted on making it worse. And that's really what makes something become a long-term internet thing.
Yeah.
Is if you insist on like trying to tweet through it, right? Like don't do it. Don't tweet through it.
Well, Raquel, the other half of Scandoval, Rachel, she disappeared. She like went into rehab or like a facility for a couple months, disappeared from everything, the internet for I don't know how long, maybe 6 months, 7 months. And then the second that Vanderpump Rules season 11 started, she's like, here's my podcast and I'm going to talk about it. Like, why did you do that?
Yeah.
You should have not done that.
Yeah, you should not have. And nobody wants to hear your side of the story. Everyone hates you. You listened to it, didn't you?
I listened to a couple just because I was curious what was going on. But unfortunately for her, her voice is very annoying to listen to.
Oh, man.
And she is like has this whole team of iHeartMedia or whatever behind her. So like the big bucks in podcasting. And her editing is so bad. Like the sound quality is not good. The editing is bad.
iHeartMedia, get on your shit, man.
So I'm like,
what are you doing?
How? I just don't get it. I don't get what's happening there. But good luck to you.
Best of luck to you and yours.
That's right. Sorry, I just feel like I have so much to say to you right now.
Please come at me. I don't know where my phone is. I'm like a lost little baby in the sea over
that's
here.
That's great because I have so many things in my noggin that I wanted to talk to you about. Did you see the family that bought their son an octopus?
Yes, and then they had all the baby octopi.
That is crazy.
Yeah. There's like hundreds of them.
There's 50.
Oh, 50, sorry.
I went down this rabbit hole. But the octopus that they originally bought their son outgrew her tank. She got so big. And then she was pregnant and like gave...
She laid eggs.
Do you not have to get pregnant to lay eggs?
No, because so the whole thing is, she laid the eggs. So most octopus, laying eggs signifies like the end of their lifespan.
Yes.
Because they become so focused on protecting their eggs that they don't eat, they don't take care of themselves, and they end up dying. But they thought for sure that there was no way that these eggs were fertilized because the amount of time that they had personally had the octopus, there was like, how could these eggs be fertilized? So for a minute, they thought about just taking the eggs away from her so that she would just keep living.
Mm-hmm.
But they do know, obviously, that would be kind of animal abuse-y because the whole point of this octopus's life is to lay these eggs. So they allowed her to keep the eggs. And the eggs hatched and they were fertilized. And there are a bunch of little tiny octopus in these people's bathroom in these little jars now.
So you know what this sounds like?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus octopus.
Oh.
Or Mother Mary octopus.
Mother Mary, yeah. And these are all our saviors.
That's Mother Mary.
Whatever happened with that stingray that was pregnant?
I don't even know.
Yeah.
I thought you would have known.
I never saw any updates after the due date.
She's probably gone.
The CIA took care of her.
Damn.
But yeah.
But this is Mother... We had Crocodile Jesus.
Crocodile Jesus.
And now we have Mother Mary Octopus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They need to do something... Like, we need to put her in like a... I don't know.
I think probably
the
conspiracy theory that I believe the most is that octopus are aliens.
They look like them.
And also they don't share DNA with any other animal.
Also, she lived, right?
What? Who?
Terrence the octopus.
Is that her name?
Yes.
Why would they name her Terrence?
I don't know, but that's her name.
Okay. I don't know. I'm talking about octopus in general.
Oh.
people think that they're, because they like their DNA, they don't share any DNA with any other living creatures on Earth. They're so intelligent. There's so many things about them that are so unique. People think that they are aliens.
I mean, I would believe that.
Yeah, why not?
Even like the shape of their heads is like very similar to alien pictures and drawings that we see.
Yeah. So. Yeah. There's just a bunch of weird stuff. I mean, I couldn't just off the top of my dome crack them, but there's a bunch of stuff that people think about Octopus that's just so bizarre and so unlike anything else on Earth that it makes people think that maybe they're aliens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, just back to Terrence, the octopus, really quick. She, like you said, wasn't supposed to live because when they give birth, they die.
Well, they die because they stop eating and taking care of themselves. But she continued to eat because they would hand feed her.
Mm-mm. Okay, I didn't see that part.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I just thought that was just such a crazy situation.
It is crazy, especially they had never had a pet before in their entire lives, this family. Never even like a cat.
And an octopus is your first choice.
Because their son was so obsessed with octopuses. Octopi.
Octopus.
I don't know the plurality of octa.
I think it's octopi. Pie. Yeah.
But their family had never had a pet before. And now they have 51 octopi.
Yeah. And then they said that they had to keep them in the separate little containers because baby octopi like kill each other.
Bite each other. Yeah. Yeah.
Such a crazy creature that I just never think about.
I know.
And now they're like, what do we do with all these octopi?
Yeah. They're like trying to get like rescues to take them, but they just have so many. There's literally,
can they not just like put them in the ocean?
I think they're in like Ohio.
typical Ohio.
Yeah, I don't think they're like close to the ocean.
Dang.
And yeah, I just don't know enough about the species to know
what... You're like the ocean queen. I just figured you would know.
I am. It's true. But I'm more, I'm more shark related.
Oh, I know. Which is another thing I was thinking of this morning for some reason. Don't know why. But you love sharks. Like, that's like your favorite, right?
Yeah, I love them. I have a shark tattoo.
And my favorite is seals. Like, I love seals. I love seals and I love sea lions. Sharks eat seals.
Some sharks eat seals.
So what does that say about our friendship?
Probably nothing good.
Feels bad, actually.
Feels like a bad omen.
It really does.
Perhaps.
Yeah. Okay. I've talked too much.
To each his own. I don't know what to tell you.
Bada bing, bada boom.
Bada bing, bada boom. All right. We should welcome our new patrons, though.
We
How about
should.
That?
Absolutely.
All right. Okay, so thank you guys so much for joining our Patreon. As you know, it's the whole reason we get to keep doing this podcast. I'm realizing now that I don't know where to put this.
Oh,
it's like
yeah,
right
that's
in front of
true.
My face. But yeah, fine. Thank you guys so much for joining our Patreon. We are almost 100% funded through Patreon and donations, and that's the reason we get to keep doing this podcast. So I would like to say thank you to Ashley M.
Hi, Ashley.
KK.
Hi, KK.
Marissa V.
Hello, Marissa.
Emily C.
Hello, Emily.
M.
Just M?
Mm-hmm.
M, hi.
And Miranda H.
Hello, Miranda.
So thank you guys so much for joining. And we, you're the reason we get to keep doing this podcast. And so we really appreciate and really dig you guys. And just thank you so much for joining our Patreon.
We love you.
We love you. We have a new Shot of Kool-Aid on there, which is our banter episode that is available to all subscribers starting at the $2 level, which, yes, we have subscriptions starting at $2 a month. And yes, you do get content. You get our episodes ad-free. You get our Shot of Kool-Aid every single month. And you also get access to our S-Word series, which Amanda does. And if you join at $5 a month, you will know that we have our new recap of Paradise Lost up there. And this week, we will be having a new serial killer episode out. So make sure
God.
You go check that out.
That's so many things.
Yeah. And we will soon be having up a video of us doing the Estes method at the Queen Mary. And that will be available to $10 and up subscribers. So
wow,
go check that out.
Sensational.
But yeah, like I said, the only reason we get to keep doing this podcast is because you guys join our Patreon and send us cash and stuff. And so thank you so much. And if you would like to join our Patreon, you can do that at dtkpod.com/support. You can also find our merch, ways to review us. If you don't have any money to spend right now, leaving us a 5-star review on Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen, makes a huge difference too. So go and do that now.
She just like has this memorized, guys.
No, I just make shit up.
Oh. I was like, I feel like this is your...
My spiel.
Your monologue.
Yeah, it's my time.
Yeah.
My time to shine.
Yeah, it's your monologue, and I just sit here and smile.
You know what? Everybody's got their job.
Yeah.
Everybody's got their job. You're and right. Sometimes it's to sit there and look pretty.
And drink my Aperol Spritz.
Yes, we are having an Aperol Spritz moment right now.
Because it's the year of the Aperol Spritz.
It is. Last year was the year of the cowboy, and this year is the year of the Aperol Spritz.
Oh, I was going to say the espresso martini was last year.
Oh, yes, true.
But cowboy is also...
What time are we at?
We are at 26 minutes.
Okay, cool. I was like, I cannot see anything. turns out I can't see anything if I don't have my glasses on. So
Turns out
when they give you glasses to see, you need them to see.
Turns out when they're like, hey, you're blind, they mean it.
They really do. It's not great, if I can be honest with you.
And you don't wear contacts?
No, I do not.
No.
I just be walking around not seeing most of the time.
Wow.
It's fine.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you've gotten this far.
Yeah. I mean, I wear them when I like drive and stuff.
Well, that's
when
good.
I do dangerous activities.
Yeah.
But I don't, I just don't like to wear them all the time.
Well, you don't really need them right now.
Yeah. I mean, like, I can't see anything really, but I can see what my computer right in front of me.
Can you see my face?
Yeah.
Well,
I'm what's it called? I'm nearsighted. Okay. So I can see things close. I just can't see things far.
Well,
and one of my eyes is way worse than the other one, so that's why I always get headaches on this side of my head.
Oh.
On my right side of my head, because my right eye sucks. My left eye is pretty okay.
This beautiful mop right here in front of you is all you need to see.
Mop?
Yeah.
Are you talking about your hair or what are we?
I'm just talking about me in general. I don't know. Is that not a saying?
A mop?
I don't know.
I think it's usually how people describe their hair if they have like a lot of it or it's big.
No, you're right. Yeah, that makes
not more just them as a person.
That makes more sense.
Usually,
what is like when they say like mug?
Mug.
Oh my god, mug! Yeah. It was mug.
This old ugly mug
this
over here.
Mug. Yeah. God damn it!
Listen, you tried.
I had the M right.
You had the M right. You tried, I will give you that. Yeah. Okay. Actually, it's funny the things that we talked about because obviously we didn't plan
right.
it, but the things that we talked about in the intro are very relatable to my story today.
Are they?
So this is something that has been requested by many people to me. So if you're one of those people, shout out to you. And I think the first person who ever brought it up to me is actually Jeremy, who is my brother-in-law. And so shout out Jeremy. And I today will be talking about the dead internet theory.
Okay.
So this is one of those things, it's been brought up to me a bunch, sent to me a bunch, but I never really knew if there was enough about it to make an actual story about it. But with recent turns of events, there definitely is.
Okay, I'm excited.
Yeah.
I don't even really know about this.
Yeah. So my sources today were an article in The Atlantic by Caitlin Tiffany, CBS News, The Bite by Victor Tangerman, and a Forbes magazine article by Danny D. Placido, and of course Wikipedia.
Of course.
And just perusing so much Reddit.
All right.
Okay. So this is the way that I would like, if you want to imagine dead internet theory. You're on Instagram and someone keeps being pushed into your feed. And
okay.
It's not someone you've ever interacted with. It's not someone you know. It's not someone who even does anything that seems like it aligns with your interests, but they're so in your face, you start interacting with their posts, you start being engaged in their following, and suddenly you are a fan of this person.
Okay.
Is this person real?
I don't know.
You don't know. You really don't, but you assume they are, right?
Uh-huh.
So the technical definition of dead internet theory is that the internet now consists mainly of bot activity and automatically generated content manipulated by algorithmic curation, minimizing organic human activity to manipulate the population.
Okay. That's a mouthful.
And it pops up in various ways. And the first one we're going to talk about is on dating apps.
Oh, shit. Thank God I don't have to use those.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh.
Girl, I was on them for like 3 months. It was the worst time of my life.
Like, if now, sorry, I know you're going to talk about it, but if now you have to deal with fake AI people on dating apps, like, it's already hard out there. So I see my friends.
There was a lawsuit recently with this conglomerate that owned several, like, smaller dating apps, and they got sued and lost because they were tricking people into buying premium subscriptions. So what they would do is you could sign up for a free dating app, you know, whatever, be a free profile. And then if you wanted to engage in certain features, you had to update it to like a $10 a month fee premium, right? So what they would do is they would create bots on the dating sites that would message you or like try to send you a photo, and you had to update to premium to answer them, but they weren't real people.
That is so fucked.
Yeah, it's so fucked. And so a lot of dead internet theory, it's around like AI and bots and stuff like that. But I personally, and this is just me, Cassidy Liston's input into dead internet theory, I think also the catfishing angle should also be included.
Mm.
Because I don't know if you know this, but restaurants have been caught on dating apps recently.
What do you mean?
So people have been going to going on dating apps, matching with someone. The person is like, hey, let's meet at this restaurant. And they're like, cool, be there at 7, whatever. And then they get ghosted, right? They get stood up. The person doesn't show up. So they go, I guess I'm already here sitting at the bar. I'll have a drink and have an appetizer, spend some money, right? And then it turns out that the person behind the fake dating profile was the restaurant. And they will trick you into going there and spending money.
That is so weird.
And it's been happening since 2016.
Like, how, first of all, fuck you for trying to humiliate someone, because being ghosted or stood up like that is humiliating.
Oh, yeah.
So fuck off. And also, like, if you don't have enough clientele, like your business is not doing good enough that you have to resort to this, then close down your restaurant, because obviously you just suck.
Yeah. But so that's the thing, is even if it's not a bot or whatever, you don't know who is behind profiles. Even right. If they have pictures, they look legit, they're whatever, you don't know what is happening on any of these sites.
Well, I mean, we've talked about this before, but like me, my husband, you, your boyfriend, on multiple occasions have gotten those like bot text messages from girls.
Oh my gosh. When me and my boyfriend first started dating, he got a text message and it was like a picture of a girl,
mm-hmm. It
like a selfie picture saying, hey, remember me from whatever a couple nights ago? Do you think I should wear this outfit out to the bar tonight? Are we still going, or something like that?
Yeah.
And he had responded, he'd never heard of this either. So he responded and was like, who are you? And she was like, oh, or this bot was
like, oh, it's me, Mandy, remember? Like, they like act like they know you.
We met at that cool bar a couple nights ago or 6 months ago or whatever. And he's sitting there like, I have no idea what this is. And then we Google the phone number and immediately it pops up. Oh, this is a spam. Weird. Yeah. They're trying to get something out of you or whatever.
I've gotten them. Sam has gotten them. You've got it's.
Because I was sitting there. We had just started dating. Yeah, so I was like, who the hell is this?
It has caused many a fight.
Oh, we had a similar fight where something like that happened because someone's Instagram got hacked and was trying to call him on Instagram, like with Instagram caller or whatever. Yeah. And then being like, why won't you talk to me, baby? Like all this weird stuff. And he had left his phone by me. And so it kept going off. And I was like, well, who's trying to call this guy? And I look at it and I was like, oh, my God.
Like, what's happening right now?
Yeah. And then, but it turned out it was just that person had gotten hacked and they had been doing that to everybody's phone that they followed, basically. Because he was like, I haven't talked to this person. And he was like, this is a dude, first of all. And I haven't talked to them in like 7 years.
Yeah.
But of course, I just saw like an Instagram person, you know, and it freaked me out. But it's scary. Yeah. And this is what's confusing to me about those particular ones. What are they trying to gain? Or are they just like trying to sow chaos? That's Is that their point?
Are you trying to just like fuck up everybody's relationship? Like what are you even trying to do?
Or are they hoping it's going to be like some, no offense, old guy who's going to be
send
like,
money.
Yeah, who's going to get entrapped or whatever.
That's what I would assume like would make the most sense.
Yeah.
But from my perspective, from my experience and everyone I know, they're like, oh, it's just caused a fight between me and my partner.
Yeah,
like
literally.
Every time. Yeah. I'm like, yeah.
I mean, so speaking of older people, Facebook. I don't know if anyone's been on Facebook recently. I don't have a Facebook. I haven't had a Facebook in 2 decades, basically.
I still have a Facebook. I don't know why.
But if you go on Facebook now, and I've watched this, this was one of the reasons I actually wanted to talk about this, is because I watched it happen to an older person that I love. Their entire feed is AI-generated bullshit.
The entire
feed. And it's really hard for especially older people to see anything from the people that they're actually, like, friends with or follow.
Yeah. I get a lot of, like, especially, actually only on Facebook, when you're scrolling, it'll be, like, a sponsored post or whatever, and it'll be like, oh, look at, I don't know, just random people, Jennifer Aniston and who so-and-so's kid, and it's, like, an AI picture of a kid who's fake, and it's like I can tell it's AI, but I'm sure, but then you look at the comments and people are like, oh my god, I had no idea they had kids, this is so crazy.
People have no idea, and I don't know if it's just like a lack of critical thinking or if it's actually just trying to target older people who are not internet savvy, but I see it all of the time, and they have like, especially older people, they have no way to get around it. Like they don't know how to. I just had to teach someone how to do the not interested. And I watched them go through not interested, not interested, not interested, because it was literally these like weird AI photos of amputated people, like people with no legs or missing arms and stuff. And all of the captions were, it's my birthday, wish me a happy birthday. And all of these posts, I mean, it wasn't people, right?
Yeah.
Like, but if you like looked at it quickly, you might think like, oh, that's a person who just happens to be missing a leg or whatever. But it was like very specifically like they were fucked up, like most AI images are. But you go and look, it had 30,000 likes.
Yeah.
1,500 comments. Happy birthday. We hope you're having a happy birthday. And this engagement gets money. And that's why they do these things.
Mm.
And so on Facebook, not only do they AI generate these pictures, they also AI generate articles from news sites that don't exist, and they confuse people.
I think I've gotten tricked on a couple of those before.
Yeah. Not even just like, I remember the Michael Cera one, like that was a satire site.
Yeah.
You just didn't realize it was a satire site.
No, turns out I'm just dumb.
Mood. But they have actual fake articles on there that are completely AI generated. If you read more than, you know, 5 sentences of it, you'll realize, oh, this is not written by a person.
Right.
But if you just read the headline and it says it comes from this website that you've never heard of, people fall for it and they think that it is real news.
Damn.
It's scary.
AI is taking over and I don't like it.
But this has been happening for years, way before ChatGPT and all this other stuff came out. And a lot of it is genuinely just to generate clicks and generate shares, which generates money for whatever site, be damned, that wants your input.
Yeah.
And on top of that, there are so many fake accounts on Facebook now, between catfish accounts and then also just AI bot accounts. So one of the things that companies or marketing companies will do is they will set up or pay somebody to set up an AI farming account, which is multiple accounts, sometimes hundreds, sometimes thousands, sometimes hundreds of thousands of accounts. And what they do is they charge their clients, hey, we promise we can get 100,000 eyes on your ad. But it's not real people.
Yeah.
It's just these bot accounts that they created. And then meanwhile, to make these bot accounts seem like they are legitimate accounts to Facebook so they don't get banned for spam, like, oh, why do they only ever, you know, interact with ads? They are interacting with real people. They're following real people. They're interacting with real people and creating this false persona that makes them seem like they are real, genuine people.
Yeah.
It's so scary.
And like, okay, so when there's a bot account, it's not, there's not like a person behind the bot typing. It's literally just generated by a computer?
Sometimes there is a person who will have 100 accounts and they just go through, and that's why you'll see a lot of those comments that the comments don't make any sense to what the post is.
Mm-hmm.
Like it'll be a picture of a sunset and they'll be like, looks delicious. And it's because they've just been copying and pasting that on every single post that comes across their page.
Okay.
Because they're just trying to create activity on the page so it doesn't seem like a spam bot. But sometimes it is bots. Like I'm not smart enough to figure out how to do that or how to, like, what exactly the ins and outs of it are. But I do know that, like, sometimes it's like, for example, there was this big thing with Amazon recently where they have the no checkout store. Have you seen that?
No.
So you can just walk in, put stuff in your cart, and walk out. You don't have to pay. And it just automatically charges your Amazon account because AI was watching you put things into your cart and then will charge you for it.
Wait, like an in-person store?
Yes, like a grocery store.
Holy shit.
Yeah. It's not true. It was just Indian people in India,
yeah,
watching these cameras and putting it into the computer. It wasn't AI. And actually, one of the funnier jokes I saw was AI stands for actually Indians. But but yeah, like they claimed it was this AI technology, this groundbreaking AI technology that was tracking what people were putting in their carts. But actually, it was just underpaid workers in a different country watching cameras and entering in what people were buying.
I'm scared.
Yeah, I know.
Literally so scared for the world.
Yeah. So when you look up dead internet theory, one of the main things that will come up is the, quote, I hate texting tweets.
Okay, what's this?
Okay, so when you type in I hate texting on Twitter or into, you know, Google search engine or whatever, what comes up is hundreds and hundreds of thousands of tweets that start with the phrase I hate texting.
Okay.
And it'll be things like, I hate texting, just come move in with me. I hate texting, come sit at the park with me and talk about the universe. I hate texting, come eat my pussy. Like stuff, like it's, you know what I mean? But like they all start with.
At first I was going to say, oh, so really cute things.
So but that's why I added that one, because it's a range. But they all start with I hate texting. So, right. So it, you would think like, oh, it's like a meme format.
Yeah. So it's like, I hate texting, so come be with me in person.
Yeah. I hate text, like, you know. So, yeah, I hate texting. Meet me at the courthouse. Let's get married.
Right.
I don't want to deal with the talking phase. Right. Is kind of like the idea. And it's like kind of like a meme format. But the problem is bot accounts have understood that tweets that start with I hate texting get a lot of retweets. And so that is the type of stuff that they tweet. And so it has resulted in hundreds of thousands of these I hate texting tweets all over the internet.
Okay.
And one of the things that bot accounts will do is they will retweet or like copy and paste and tweet out tweets that already are viral.
Okay. So, and like, they're stealing them.
Yes. So they're stealing them and then reposting them on their like aesthetic account or whatever. I mean, right?
Yeah. I was going to say people do that shit all the time.
So some of those accounts are real people, but a lot of them are bots.
Okay.
Are just not real. They don't. That nobody is behind them. There's no person on the other side of this account that retweets these like aesthetic or deep thoughts or whatever. A lot of them are bots.
So who's making the money from this?
That's a great question.
Okay.
So to track down who's making the money, you would have to know what corporation owns that account, what person is creating multiple bot accounts, what the point of it is. Some people will grow accounts like that and then sell them to people who want to be viral.
To take over?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
So some people will farm these accounts, retweet, just like, you know, reposting or stealing viral content until they have 150,000 followers. And then they will go online and sell that account, sell the login information to some 14-year-old girl who wants to have an aesthetic account and wants to already have 150,000 followers. And she'll buy that for $200. And then now she has a viral Twitter account that she can post whatever she wants and it has eyes on it.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah. So once again, the theory behind dead internet theory is that a lot of the pages and a lot of the people and the content that you're engaging with simply is just not real. It's not a person. There's nothing of substance behind it. It's just a bot generated to make money.
Wow.
Yeah. You can see this also on other websites, like, for example, Amazon. Amazon is having a huge issue right now with sellers who are selling fake products, products that either don't exist or that do not look like or exist in the way that they are posted online. Mm-hmm. You can actually find multiple products on Amazon right now if you go type in. This function is not supported by ChatGPT AI because people are just automatically having AI create create listings to sell things.
Yeah. So all of this is basically like these people creating these bots to falsely advertise whatever on any of these sites to make money.
Yes.
Okay. I have not yet been bamboozled by Amazon, surprisingly.
Me either. Well, so one of the things that you can do, there are luckily websites now, because a lot of the problems is people have these bots that give fake reviews on Amazon products. So you'll see, oh my gosh, this has 4.5 stars and 30,000 reviews. That's pretty good. But if you go and look at the 1-star reviews, they're real people. Mm-hmm. If you go and look at the 5-star reviews, they're all like, great product, totally would buy again. Thanks for recommending it. Like stuff, you know what I mean? They're like very vague and weird.
Well, that is what's so fucking scary too about the internet. Like Cassidy said, I don't know if you said this last week or the week before, but you said that's the funny thing about the internet is that you can just say whatever you want on it.
Yeah, absolutely. And lie. And there's little to no consequence most of the time.
And it's like, it's so scary because you can buy followers, likes, reviews, comments, like you just never know what's fucking real.
And because of the society that we live in, and this is one of the big things, because of the society that we live in, we put actual substance into, oh, I looked at that person's account and they have 30,000 followers.
Right.
Right. And we think, oh, that gives them some sort of importance or some sort of
hierarchy,
authority. Right. Like, I mean, I know it was a big thing we talked about when we first started this podcast, and I'm very glad we didn't. But I remember Amanda being like, should we just buy like 5,000 followers so that way people think that we have followers? And I was like, nope, if we're going to do it, we're just going to go for it.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to name names, but there are a lot of podcasts and a lot of people I know who have bought followers. And it's so obvious because you go onto their page and they'll have 30,000 followers. And then you go and look and they'll get like 10 likes on
something. And I feel like that's the biggest tell. But I was listening to Lala Kent from Vanderpump Rules, her podcast the other day. And she was saying that one of her listeners reached out to her and was like, oh, I did this thing where you can go on someone's Instagram page, filter out all the accounts that aren't active and see how many people follow you that are active. And they were saying like if it's an unactive Instagram, then it's fake, even though some people are just not active after a few years. And she was like calling out all her cast members about it and be like, this person has this many followers, like 45,000 followers, and only 20,000 of them are active. So you know they bought their followers.
So I actually have written down right here the number one offender, celebrity offender of having fake followers.
Can I guess?
They have over 30% of their followers are fake.
Can I guess?
Yes.
Okay. Can you tell me the number that they have following them right now?
I don't know.
Oh, you don't know.
Yeah. Okay. I just know it's over 30% of their followers are fake.
Okay. Is it a woman or a man?
It's a woman.
Okay. The first person that comes to my mind is Kylie Jenner.
She is in the top five.
Okay.
I have a whole list. I'm going to read you the whole list, but yeah, keep going if you want to keep guessing.
Well, Kylie and Kim were the first two that I thought of.
They are both in the top five of the most bought followers.
Okay.
It's someone we've talked about that I actually like.
That you like?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Singer, actor?
Singer. I've worked with her before.
Katy Perry.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Katy Perry is the number one celebrity who has the most fake followers.
Number one?
She has over 30% of her followers are fake.
Damn.
The next are Kim, Courtney, Chloe, Kylie, and Kendall.
Yeah, I would believe that.
Ariana Grande, Demi Lovato, Zendaya, and Gal Gadot.
I'm a little shocked Zendaya's on that list.
Justin Bieber was also up there pretty high. What's his name? The fucking horrible abuser. Chris Brown was up there really high. Mm. Chris Brown was like 6 or 7.
That checks out.
But yeah, so even these celebrities are buying followers.
Yeah, of course.
And a lot of influencers, I don't think people realize this. A lot of influencers who are big now, but they started like way back in the day, they bought all of their followers.
Yeah.
And then that's what pushed them in the algorithm. Now it's a little harder because you don't get pushed in the algorithm if you buy followers. It just gives you the social capital of someone goes to your page and they can see like, oh, they have, you know, 200,000 followers. They must be famous or whatever.
Well, we know people that were trying to start shows and stuff that
I know people who have been trying to be influencers, trying to start their shit. Unfortunately, now it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't push you in the algorithm like it used to.
Yeah. It's just better to be authentic.
I do agree.
Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I don't get it.
I just think it's sad. Like, if you had to do that.
Yeah.
I think it's sad.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I did think about it when we first started the podcast. I was like, is that going to help us?
No, I know. Like, but that's why. Not. Yeah. And that's why I told you, like, no, that's weird and sad.
Yeah. I was like, you're right. You're right.
But one of the big things, once again, Instagram is owned by Meta, which owns Facebook. And one of the reasons that these fake accounts exist is because guess what Meta does? They sell ads.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what their promise is? That people will look at your ads or that accounts will look at your ads. So all they have to do is they allow these fake accounts to exist because they interact with ads.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes Meta money.
Right. Oh, man. Soon people walking around the streets are going to be fake people. So,
well, I don't know if you know this, but there's such a thing as an AI influencer. And one of the first ones was someone named Lil Michaela. And Lil Michaela.
Oh, no, I don't like this already.
Was a model and a woman who was living in Los Angeles. She was from like Brazil, I think. And she was posting all these pictures about her life and how amazing everything is, and then people realized that this person doesn't exist. This is not a real person.
How did they realize that?
Some of the pictures and the, you know, stuff just like wasn't lining up, and she had hundreds of thousands of followers. And then finally a media company comes out and says, yes, it's true, little Michaela is like, we run that account. She's not a real person. And now she has 2.7 million followers on Instagram. You can look her up right now.
Oh, my God.
I would actually. Here.
I was going to say, my phone is not
I want
available.
You to look this up. It is so insane.
She still has an account?
Oh, yeah. She's still posting. 2.6 million followers.
She doesn't look like a real person. People thought this was a real person.
Mm-hmm. And guess what Lil Michaela does? Lil Michaela posts about politics. Lil Michaela posts about products she thinks you should buy. Lil Michaela interacts with celebrities. Lil Michaela is a walking advertisement. Some of you people really need to think about what you're fucking doing here.
Well, they have like pictures of Lil Michaela like with other people.
That's what I'm saying.
But I'm sorry, she looks like that looks AI. That doesn't look real, this picture. Like, look, it looks like a cartoon.
Yeah.
And people believe this.
And that's another question. How many of the people who follow her right now are aware that she is not real?
Oh, she's like posting. Wait.
What?
Some of her captions have the term AI in it.
Yeah, so once they came out
and
that
she
was
fake.
It, but at first she was presenting as a real person.
And it could be like I could understand where someone would see that and just think it was a
like
filter.
If you're just scrolling, oh, okay, whatever, not thinking twice, not looking at it,
yeah,
like that looks like a photo that I would see.
Yeah, and like put a filter on it or whatever.
Yeah, but yeah, but she posts, look what's in her bio, 20-year-old robot living in LA, be your own robot.
Oh, so now she's out
but this is
as a robot.
Yeah, that's what I was
and
saying.
Proud, yeah.
Yeah. She when they got caught, they came out and said, like, yeah, whatever. And like I said, she's gained 2 million followers since then. But she is not the only one. I mean, and also, how can we know if any influencer, any yeah. person that we interact with is AI?
Well, even that, like, even aside from like a completely false human being, we already have dealt with for the last couple of years dealing with edited photos to mm-hmm. the point where it's like we know that's a real person, but we know that they don't look like that.
Oh, basically anyone you see on Instagram who, especially obviously this is a big part of it, is like women who post very scantily clad mm-hmm. photos, they don't even look like that.
Right, right.
And the sad thing is they're gorgeous, beautiful women, but they edit themselves so intensely. They edited a photo, and this is one of the reasons I love Zendaya. They edited a photo of Zendaya to make her look thinner, mm-hmm. and she literally posted the original and was like, what the fuck? Like, she's already yeah. so incredibly thin. And they edited a photo of her to look thinner, and so she went back and posted the original unedited photo to be like, can you guys fucking stop yeah. doing this? Everything you see online is fake, right? And
which is why I was confused why Zendaya was in that list, because I was like, Zendaya, of all people,
doesn't,
I love her.
It doesn't mean that she bought followers, that she paid for them. It means that fake accounts yeah. follow her. Because also, here's another thing. Accounts will follow famous people to seem real.
Yeah.
If they're just a bot account that's trying to seem relevant or trying to get pushed into an algorithm, they will follow very popular accounts. It doesn't mean Ariana Grande and, you know, Zendaya paid for these accounts. It just means that these bot accounts think, oh, well, following Zendaya is what humans do. So this account also follows Zendaya.
Got it. Yeah. Bots are smart.
I mean, now you'll see that a lot on Twitter with the whole pussy in bio. I'm sure you've seen those memes.
No.
So it's happened to me several times. Anytime you have a tweet that gets like more than a few likes, some random bot porn account will reply, pussy in bio.
Oh, yeah. I get those for sure.
Like I had a tweet go like semi-viral recently, and I had to block so many accounts. I also get tagged all the time in these like crypto mass tweets that are like, oh, make a bunch of money. And then they tag like 15 accounts in one mm-hmm. tweet. So annoying. It's made Twitter like basically unusable. Elon Musk, you should be put in prison forever. and then there's also like videos from these like blue checkmark Twitter accounts that mean nothing, do nothing, say nothing, or they're reposted, they're stolen from somewhere, of like fights, of bullshit, of AI generated, whatever. But Twitter now pays based on views if you have a blue check mark. So they don't care if you even like or engage with the content. All you have to do is give it enough views that right. they start to get paid. And it's just, they're just farming. Okay, I made $10 off that tweet, $10 off this, and I have 15 accounts and they're all running this bullshit all the time. So I'm making $1,000 a month or whatever. But it's destroying the internet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus.
The New York Times a couple years ago did an in-depth investigation into the bot uses in YouTube and discovered that a half of all user interactions on YouTube are bots.
Oh, no. Right when I'm starting to try to get us on YouTube.
I know. they actually said that they're worried because the prevalence of bots is so intense. The algorithm might start to believe that bots are people and real people are bots.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
This seems like a horror movie.
It is. I mean, this is why I wanted to talk about this, because it's so insane when you look at the stats on everything. Think about it. We right now. Hello, us. We could literally be fake. Or paid for, or you know what I mean? We could be anything. These people don't know us. We don't know the people that listen to us. We don't know the people that we follow online. They could be fake. They could be tricking us. And how often are they? There's a whole TV show, Catfish, about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's people who get tricked sometimes for good reasons. Like you think about shows like To Catch a Predator. And so, you know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. there's nefarious purposes, and then there's also good purposes for tricking people online. But yeah, you really cannot tell, no matter how much you think you can. And one of the main things that's happening right now, so no matter what you think about OnlyFans, there are more and more OnlyFans accounts that are actually run by dudes who are just taking photos of women, of actual OnlyFans models and sex workers, and then running them through AI to change them just enough,
yeah,
and then creating OnlyFans accounts and then setting up bots to chat with men. So now even OnlyFans accounts, which that's the whole point, right, is that it's direct sex work. It's not like you're supposed to be talking to this person.
Yeah.
It's actually just AI generated porn from a man who set up a bot to chat with you to make money.
These people, man. But they're smart, though.
Some people don't care because, for example, there are whole chat websites that are AI girlfriend, AI wife. I'm sure there's AI boyfriend ones, too. But like, yeah. And then you have to pay to marry them. You have to pay to start a family. And so these.
So you start like an AI family?
Yes. And then and that's how these places make money. Is they get you invested, they get lonely people invested in these AI relationships, and then they say, well, if you want to have little AI babies, you have to pay $20 a month.
Oh my God. This is giving.
Just play The Sims like a normal person.
Literally, just play The Sims. Play The Sims. You can do the same stuff.
Yeah.
Bro, this is giving. Oh my God, I feel so bad, but like Twin Flames universe esque. Type of situation.
And some people don't even realize the path that they're slowly falling down. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Oh my gosh.
Also, a big thing that is a problem is men will create these AI girlfriends or these AI chatbots and then abuse them.
What the fuck?
Yeah. Like, turn them into like sex slaves. There's ones where you can get them to generate AI nude images.
Listen, you know, you shouldn't do that to real people. You also shouldn't do that to robots.
Well, the scary thing is if you want to do this, like, I don't know, color me surprised, because when I play BioShock, I can't even kill the little sisters. Like, I always harvest them. You know what I mean? Because I just feel like it.
And harvest them.
Well, so you can like save them and like harvest the Adam, or you can kill them and you get more Adam, which is like the thing that you're trying to get is Adam, right? And I can't do it. I can't do it.
Why would you want to kill the little sister?
I've played that game through probably 20 times in my life, and I cannot be the bad guy.
Good.
But so to me, it's so strange that men can so easily.
Well, I'm sure. And not even just men. I think anyone that is having these AI relationships seems like they could do whatever they want.
Yeah.
And that's probably why they get into them, because they're like, well, it's not a real person. I can just do whatever I want, treat them the way I want to. But really, it's because they're living out some like sick fantasy.
Yeah. There are also whole websites that exist, like that you can go and visit, that exist, that only exist so that marketing companies can sell you ad space or sell them ad space on it. Even worse, your computer right now could be being used as one of these fake click things. So via malware, they can use your IP address to seem like it is interacting with these fake websites and is engaging with these real advertisements that are being paid for, even though you are not engaging with any of that. It's just all fake.
Well, this is something else that's gonna cause me stress on top of everything else going on in the world.
Mm-hmm. So why would this exist?
Why?
Is what we're going to end with.
Okay.
And the first one, and I think that's pretty obvious just from the way we've been talking about this, is money.
Yes.
Clicks make ad revenue, make engagement. Engagement is important. Another big thing that will happen, especially on places like Facebook and Twitter, are accounts that will post things that are political, both directions, things that make you feel good that you might engage with, and then things that make you feel bad, because they've actually shown that things that make you feel bad are the things that you're more likely to engage with and continue clicking. And when you're clicking, you're looking at ads, you're you're more likely to buy things. You're more likely to be involved in pages. You're more likely to comment and create more clicks, which in turn makes Meta more money.
Mm-hmm.
So you might see a political post that seems almost perfectly tailored to everything you hate. And then you'll want to go through and read the comments or whatever, right? They will do, like, they will generate that so that you will engage with that content.
I believe it.
So another, obviously another thing that this achieves is political gain. The more we fight each other, the more we find the far left, the far right, the far up, the far down, the less likely we are to find anything we agree on, right? So guess what that does? That keeps you on the app and scrolling and clicking and looking. You might be engaging, and guess what? Everyone in the comments might be real people engaging in a real discussion, but it was started by bullshit.
Yeah.
By someone who doesn't exist, by an account that is a spoof. This also keeps us distracted and it keeps us spending money, right? And some people, and this isn't me, don't put me on any more watch lists, please. Some people believe that the CIA is involved in this.
100%. Are you kidding me?
Because of the way that it has polarized our country and it has caused a lot of civil unrest in a way. And as we know, the CIA kind of thrives in situations like that.
Yeah.
Because they're not supposed to be working in the United States at all. But as we know,
the CIA is not supposed to be.
The CIA is supposed to only function on foreign soil. The FBI works domestically.
Oh.
The CIA technically should not be working domestically at all.
Hmm. Don't come after us, please.
We love you.
Just kidding.
But so beyond just making money, obviously there are ways to capitalize politically on the internet being mostly bots. And whether you believe this or you're not, some people think, you know, obviously there's a lot of bots, there's issues, but they don't think it's as severe as others do.
Mm-hmm.
And some people think it's more benign, like, it's just advertisers trying to make money. It's not really that big, you know, it's not that deep, bro, kind of idea.
Yeah.
But no matter what you think, obviously we've all, if you're on the internet, you have experienced interactions or annoyances surrounded with AI-generated content,
yeah,
and bots. And what it means for the future of the internet is really a big question mark right now, because if it's this bad already,
yeah, right,
how much worse can it get? And there's no regulation on this type of stuff at all.
I mean, not even just the internet. I'm scared of the future with AI in general.
Yeah, AI scares the shit out of me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. It'd be one thing if we were utilizing it to make people's lives easier and be like, oh, see, people don't have to work 40 hours a week because we have AI that can take care of a lot of the minutia that we do.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what it is. Instead, people will just end up getting fired and not paid.
Right.
When, in, you know, we should be trying to prioritize human livelihood. And before anyone comes at me and says, oh, you think people should get paid to do nothing? Yes, I do.
To do nothing?
I think, what is the fucking point of having technology to make our lives easier if it doesn't make our lives easier and we get to actually enjoy the time and the money and the freedom that it gives us? Like, yeah, I do think people should get paid to do fucking nothing. Shut up. What is the point of having fucking robot butlers and AI that can do everything if it just makes some fucking jackass richer?
No, I agree.
But then, like, we all just get laid off from our cool jobs that we liked writing dumb little emails. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, that's stupid.
It is.
Yeah. So, yeah, don't come at me with that, because, yes, I do think people should get paid to do nothing.
Because, yes, she will just double down.
I'm tripling down. So that is the gist. Obviously, there's so much more. And if you are interested in dead internet theory or falling down the rabbit hole, Reddit has you fucking covered. I'll tell you that much. One of the big things now with the way that Twitter is being run under Elon Musk has become like a big thing, because there used to be protections on Twitter that kind of took care of bots. Like, I didn't see a ton of bots on Twitter. Mm. Now it's all of the time. And then ChatGPT, obviously, and the
GPT.
GPT?
GBT.
GPT.
Is it P?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, this whole time I thought it was GBT.
No, it's P.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Has
I thought you were just being dyslexic.
No, for once, I'm not. All of that stuff has kind of just compounded it, just the fall of the internet in general. But yeah, if you guys want, there is tons of stuff on Reddit to read about it. I definitely will be reading more about it. It's freaky as hell.
I will just be completely forgetting this entire conversation.
Amanda will be trying to, yeah, she'll be trying to drink this all away.
Literally, like right after we finish, I'm done. I'm never thinking about this again.
Out. Yeah. But yeah, so that is Dead Internet Theory.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
For stressing me out.
Sorry.
More.
It's bad out there. And guess what, everyone? It's only going to get worse.
And guess what? We're not even real.
We glitch.
We're fake people. They're like, no, you're actually too fucking insane to be fake.
Yeah, honestly, what would be the point of making us?
That's so true. So you know we're real.
Yeah, you know we're real because we will be assassinated by the CIA eventually. Oh.
Not me. Hopefully just you.
Probably just me.
Yeah.
Amanda will talk her way out of it.
Somehow. Or cry. Whatever. Or cry. Either way, it's fine.
Real.
Okay. Now that I have to come down from that AI scary.
Yeah. Experience. Sorry about that. I know when I was like researching, I was doing that. You know that thing like when you're researching something, sometimes you like start to feel like really surreal,
mm-hmm.
where your brain is loopy. I was getting that feeling for sure.
Yeah, where I have that right now.
Yeah, I felt super existential and it was just strange. It
doesn't
yeah.
help that you were PMSing all week either. So,
oh, yes, I was.
Yeah, same. So,
last night I stepped on a snail.
Oh, yeah, I got your text
and sobbed for like 25 minutes.
Well, that's really cruel. I don't want to hear about it, to be
honest.
It's
too much.
Okay, yeah. Anyway.
Okay.
Let's talk about a prison instead.
Oh, good.
Because you know that's so much better. So today we're going to talk about the Yuma Territorial Prison. Territorial. Why did I say territorial? Territorial.
Where is this?
In Arizona.
Yeah, I thought so. I thought maybe that might be it.
You know that place, Yuma, uh-huh. Arizona?
I do know Yuma.
Yeah.
310 to Yuma, baby.
That's right. So my sources were yumaprison.org, weirdus.com, azcentral.com by Mark Nothat, phoenixghosts.com, voicesfromthegrave.com, andreadowning.com, and the episode of Ghost Adventures mm-hmm. on this particular place, which scared the bejesus out of me.
It's a spooky one.
At 6 a.m. when yeah, I was watching it.
At 6 a.m.
You know how I do.
I know.
I was like watching it and I was like, why did I do this? Why don't I wait until the sun comes
this
up?
It's a terrible idea.
I always do. Okay, so there's like a lot of history to this place and it's like really crazy and very interesting, I feel like. So the Yuma Territorial Prison, which is now the Yuma Territorial Prison State Historic Park. Very long name to a
I've
state
been
park.
There.
Have you?
I have, yeah.
We should go ghost hunting here.
Absolutely.
Just
we should.
An idea.
I'm down.
So this is obviously located in Yuma, Arizona. The prison was built in 1876, and it was actually built by the hands of the first seven inmates of the prison. So these people were forced to build their own jail cells and then proceeded to live in them when it opened on July 1st, 1876.
God, what a nightmare.
Really, though. They yeah. were like, oh, you actually have to build the place that you're going to be imprisoned for the next however long.
Horrible.
Absolutely. So the prison was open for the next 33 years, and during this time, it had seen a total of 3,069 prisoners, 29 of which were women. So this was a co-ed prison, although not many of them were women.
Okay.
So the crimes of these prisoners definitely varied in a very wide variety of situations. You had people that were in there for rape and murder all the way to polygamy.
Okay.
Because I guess during this time, Mormonism was
There's
really...
There's a lot of Mormons in Arizona, yeah. even to this day.
Yeah, yeah, so...
I grew up in a neighborhood that was mostly Mormons.
So they were really cracking down specifically during this time on polygamy in the Mormon religion. So that's why a lot of people were getting sent to prison. But most of the prisoners were actually said to be in there for grand larceny. That was like okay. the majority. Which to me... like, I think I've said this before, but to be like a rapist and a murderer and then just someone that like steals things is just so different.
Very different. Yeah.
Why are you in the same place?
Yeah.
There should be different places for these things.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I mean, that's why nowadays they have max prisons, mm-hmm. and then, you know, medium security, low security.
Also, I'm sorry, like, just being like, oh, I married two people. Boom, you're in prison with a murderer.
So stupid.
Just so stupid.
Let those weirdos marry however many people
exactly.
they want.
Exactly. Let people do whatever they want.
As long as they're not hurting kids or any of that weird shit that Jeff dude was doing.
Exactly.
You know the guy?
Which one?
The Mormon guy from Utah. He got arrested because he was like marrying off kids and stuff. Yeah, like fuck that guy.
Yeah, but that's
put him in there. But just like having to what?
Well, I was gonna say because that's also just being a fucking
yeah. That's what I mean. Is like if you're being a fucking weirdo,
pedophile.
But if you're marrying 4, 5, 20 consenting adults, I don't yeah. really give a fuck.
But if you're a pedophile, yeah, you should fucking go in there.
Yeah, I never understood why polygamy was illegal. Why the fuck? Who cares?
Why do you care?
Why do you care?
Just stop.
As long as they're consenting adults, once again, who the fuck cares?
In the words of Joe Biden, can
don't.
We just not?
Don't. Walk off. Come back. Well, so the reason I said don't is so embarrassing.
So it is said that a lot of the prisoners didn't actually serve their full sentencing. The administration seemed to be pretty, like, chill in this area at this time, and they would allegedly just hand out parole hearings like it was nothing.
Okay, I'm
like,
down with that.
You know what? You committed a murder. Who cares?
Well, maybe not for the murderers.
1 year. Goodbye. You're good.
We're tired of feeding your ass.
Exactly. So there's one infamous inmate, Buckskin Frank Leslie. He, you know, this is the Wild West, obviously. It's the 1800s. So he obviously killed a gang member or two here and there,
obviously.
but he's mostly known for being in this prison because he killed his girlfriend in a drunken rage.
Oh, so no good.
We don't like him.
No.
There was also Isabel Washington, who served only 1 year sentence in the prison for throwing her newborn baby into a canal in Tempe, Arizona.
Why?
Who knows? These are just some of the infamous okay. inmates that we have. Then there's Pearl Hart. She was the bandit queen. So she was a little famous gal.
Oh, I love her already.
She's amazing. She was known for robbing stagecoaches, obviously. And she was sentenced to 5 years in Yuma. But she was pardoned after 2 for using her feminine charm on both the prisoners and the guards.
Oh, so she was just a hottie.
Yeah.
Okay.
And she said, look at me. Let me out. And they said, okay.
Honestly, I have nothing but respect for this
yeah,
woman.
Yeah, love her. Another woman I love. Probably my favorite one. Miss Elena Estrada. She was sentenced to 7 years of manslaughter because she stabbed her cheating partner, cut open his chest, pulled out his heart, and then threw it at his face.
Damn.
She pleaded not guilty and claimed that he just fell against her knife while she was holding it.
Fell into my knife 10 times.
Yes, I wrote that. I said, in the words of Chicago, he ran into my knife. He ran into my knife 10 times. And you know what I say to that?
He had it coming. He had it coming. He only had himself to blame.
Okay, only 6 seconds or we'll get sued.
Allegedly.
But yeah. Some of the women inmates, only 29 of them, some of them are icons.
I mean, listen, whenever I hear a man murdered anyone, I'm like, motherfucker. And then whenever I hear a woman murdered someone, I'm
you
like,
said, he had it coming.
Well, I go, well, maybe we just, what was the reason?
Maybe we can just hear what she had to say.
Hear her out.
Let's just know.
I have to know the whole story before I
exactly.
pass judgment.
Exactly.
And usually I do pass judgment, but sometimes.
Every once in a blue moon.
Sometimes.
We're like,
not
he had it coming.
Not to be problematic, but.
So the prison itself had more modern amenities than actually most of the homes in the area of Yuma.
Oh, shit.
So the residents of Yuma referred to it as the country club on the Colorado.
I love that.
So in the 1880s, F.S. Ingalls took over as warden, and he and his wife switched the prison over to electricity, which a lot of the homes at the time didn't even have electricity. So they were like, why the fuck do these inmates who murdered people get this and we don't have it? So this was actually one of the very first generators built in the West in 1884. The prison also had forced ventilation, which is basically just air getting into the building.
Yeah.
It had two bathtubs and three showers, which apparently a lot of people in the area didn't even have in their own homes. But that's also two bathtubs and three showers for thousands of inmates. So it's not really a luxury, to be honest.
They weren't bathing often.
No.
I'll tell you that much.
But people in the town were pissed. They were like, I don't even have a bathtub. Why do you get a bathtub?
You know what? Yeah. And guess what? You do deserve a bathtub. The state should give you a bathtub.
Nothing is better than a bath.
Remember when I said you should get paid for doing nothing? You also should get a bath for doing nothing.
That's so true.
I support you
fully.
It
all comes together.
I think the state should be taking care of you, basically.
That's right. They even had a prison band. So
hello.
I know. So they would learn how to play instruments, and then they would perform for the other prisoners. The prison also had really good medical care, and school was available to them so they could learn how to read and write. So there was like, it was pretty progressive for the time, especially for the time. It was the 1800s.
Yeah, totally.
The prison also had the only library in the town at the time, which held over 2,000 books. And it was open to the public, so anyone in the town could come tour the prison and then go to the library and check out books.
Nice.
But they also had to be next to the inmates at the same time.
Whatever.
Yeah, it's whatever.
Probably good for them.
Bring your family. Family day.
Some of them were just there for grand larceny. It's not that big of a deal. Grow up.
Some of them were just had multiple wives.
Grow up.
It's fine.
It's fine.
Your five-year-old kid could be next to that.
That's fine.
It's okay. The prison was also known to be relatively humane, even as far as like the punishments went, just like I said, for the time. They didn't do the death penalty here at all. But all that being said, to the prisoners, they actually called this place the hellhole.
Oh, okay.
Because of the forced ventilation during the summer months, it's Arizona.
Oh, I can't even imagine.
It's the desert. The heat was insufferable.
Yeah.
So they would just be laying in their beds dying. Tuberculosis was also running rampant around the prison, and over 100 inmates died, mostly from that disease. And because the prison was surrounded by rivers and quicksand, it was basically impossible for them to even try to escape.
Makes sense.
When inmates were in trouble or they were just like being extra bad, they would get thrown into the dark room, which was basically like solitary confinement. And the dark room was a 10 by 10 foot room with only a very tiny vent that you could see like a little bit of sun from during the morning. But once the sun went down, you were in complete darkness.
Oh my God.
So the inmate would get thrown in there. They would have to undress completely. Sometimes, if they were lucky, they would be able to leave their underwear on. But for most of the time, they were completely nude. They then would get a ball and chain locked onto each ankle. And then those chains would be shackled to these other things like on either side of the inmate. And their legs would be spread apart, like spread eagle.
Oh,
and they would have to just be standing there.
Be like that?
Yeah, the whole time.
Jesus.
So they would be thrown down there for however many days or whatever hours. And they would only get a loaf of bread and a jug of water. And snakes and scorpions would often find their way into the dark room. So no one ever knew if the, like this was just like, since it was so dark and damp in there, that these creatures would just, you know, be attracted to it and go down there themselves. Or if this was a torture tactic by the guards who would drop them through the vents.
Okay.
So there was always like theories around it, but no one ever knew for certain
what
happened. Allegedly, no one ever died in the dark room, but on
allegedly, heavy on that.
Yeah. But on more than one occasion, inmates that were in the dark room for a few days had to be transferred to an insane asylum.
I would believe that.
Yeah. So no good on the dark room. In 1886, after a man named Thomas Gates took over as the warden, a riot broke out when seven inmates tried to escape. So they ended up seizing the guns from the guards. Then they took the warden as a hostage and used him as a human shield so they could try to like bust through the front gates. But while they were doing this, the warden told the other guards that were outside to just shoot. And if he was a casualty, then so be it.
Jesus.
Yeah. He was like, it's fine. Just fucking shoot. Like,
couldn't be me. I'd be like, do not fucking shoot me. Are you joking my ass?
Oh, me too. I'd be like, you're letting me live. I don't care if these seven inmates escape.
Yeah, let them go.
I'm going to live.
Let them do whatever they want personally.
Yeah. But this warden was like, no, just don't hold back. Just go ahead. And if I die, then I die. So right as they started shooting, one of the inmates who was holding the warden stabbed him in the back and killed him.
Oh, my God.
Four of the inmates were shot dead, and the other ones were then able to get caught after all the smoke and fire was dissipated. And this went on to be known as the Gates Riot, named after the warden, Thomas Gates.
Crazy.
So by the 1900s, the prison was becoming wildly overpopulated, so they started to build a new prison in Florence, Arizona.
Okay.
Do you know where that is?
Yes.
Didn't know there was a Florence, Arizona.
Oh, yeah. Hmm. There's stuff all over that dang state.
That dang desert.
Yeah.
In 1909, when the Florence prison opened, they moved all the prisoners from Yuma to this new prison, and the Yuma prison closed down. But a year later, in 1910, it reopened as something else. Do you know what it reopened as?
I'm going to guess a hospital or an insane asylum.
A high school.
Oh, good.
So this high school was in operation for the next 4 years, from 1910 to 1914. And during this 4 year stint as a high school, they ended up playing Phoenix High School in a sport, which I'm assuming is football. No one ever really says what it is. But they won the game, and Phoenix was so pissed that they called the Yuma school the Criminals. And that name somehow stuck. And to this day, the Yuma High School mascot is
the Criminals.
The Criminals.
Yes, it is. Wow, that's funny.
Which, wild.
Iconic.
Kind of iconic, but also wild. I don't know if their jerseys are orange with pinstripes or not, but...
Yeah, maybe they get to wear little robber's masks.
Oh, man. So after the high school thing completely stopped, once again, it was only in operation for 4 years. So that's only like a freshman to a senior.
Yeah.
So literally, it was kind of like when I opened a restaurant and then it closed down while I was also working there. So I opened it and I closed it. So the kids opened the high school and also closed the high school. So after that, the prison was unoccupied. And a lot of families during the Great Depression actually would go to the buildings to like squat and live there because they had nowhere else to go.
Yeah.
During this time. So there were a lot of families in and out of these buildings. But like I said, today the prison area is a state park, and all it is just, you know, some of the jail cells. I think it's like the main cell.
Yeah,
the
you
dark
can like
room.
Walk through all of it. Yeah.
The front gate is still there. There's a museum and a souvenir shop, and that's pretty much all that's left of this area. And obviously, it's haunted.
Of course. Why wouldn't it be?
Why wouldn't it be? So on some occasions, visitors have heard the faint sounds of music through the area, which people believe to be the Yuma prison band, just hanging around,
makes
having
sense.
A good time, which I feel like is incredibly adorable.
Yeah.
But also, if you're touring the area, you may even hear some blood-curdling screams and cries for mercy.
Oh. Okay.
Just cute stuff. just a good time.
Just girly things.
It comes at no surprise that the dark room is known to be the most haunted place in the prison. Visitors and staff have claimed to hear rattling chains as they enter the dark room, which is believed to be the balls and chains that people were shackled to. And usually people get the immediate sense that they are not alone when they enter. So a woman who was a staff writer for this magazine, it was called the Arizona Highways Magazine. I don't know if that's still in operation to this day. Interesting. She was writing an article on the Yuma prison, and she wanted to stay in the dark room for 48 hours.
Ew.
I know. to be able to get the full prisoner experience, to like know what they really had to deal with so she could write about it properly.
Okay.
Couldn't be me.
No, not relatable.
So she goes into the dark room. She gets her ankles shackled with a ball and chain. Like, she's living it up. She's doing it. She's doing the thing. She had a jug of water and one loaf of bread. And they even hung up a blanket to like block out any of the sunlight that could possibly come through while she was alone. And after 37 hours, so literally barely away from her 48-hour goal, she started screaming for help and was like pleading people to let her out because she claimed that she wasn't alone in the room.
Oh, no. Oh, no, 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 no.
So no. To me, the fact that she was only 11 hours away from her goal and she couldn't survive it makes me feel like there was something in there with her.
Yes, I agree.
And I don't like it.
I don't like that at all.
So although most people think that the dark cell holds the spirits of, you know, inmates down there, people that have done really horrible, heinous crimes, there's also a spirit of a little girl that is believed to be down there.
Okay.
So this little girl is known to poke and pinch visitors with her icy cold fingers.
Okay.
Some people think that she was a little girl that just lived there with her family while they were seeking shelter during the Great Depression. But it is known that she tends to only touch people that are wearing the color red specifically.
Okay.
And there is a story of a little girl who was playing with her doll that was wearing a red dress on the edge of the Colorado River one day. And her doll fell into the water. And when the little girl jumped in to go get her doll, she unfortunately drowned as well.
Okay. So she's just like a nearby spirit, perhaps.
Right. Because it was like right outside the prison.
Got it. Okay.
Some people even say that the ghost of her mother is often seen searching for her daughter along the river's edge as well. So aside from the dark cell, the main cell is also said to be one of the more haunted spots. Back in the 1930s, a woman who was touring the area was standing right in front of the main cell, and she asked somebody to take a picture of her. And there was nobody behind her when she took the picture, but once she got it developed, there was a ghostly apparition of a man standing right behind her.
Ooh, okay.
Very spooky. The man that is in the photo is believed to be an inmate called John Ryan. So this man was incarcerated for, quote unquote, crimes against nature.
Oh, he was fucking goats.
Oh.
Oh, sorry.
What
was he doing?
Specifically?
That's what I would think.
Oh, okay. Well, most people just say rape. But
oh, okay.
Fucking goats is also against nature. So that's...
Yeah, I feel like crimes... I don't know. That's the first thing that came up in my brain.
We don't know. So it's very possible that that's what
he's
doing.
Okay.
But this man was hated by everybody in the prison. He was hated by the guards. He was hated by the prisoners. He literally just had no friends at all because he was fucking goats, I guess.
Apparently. Allegedly.
Allegedly. So he actually ended up hanging himself in his cell, which was cell 14, which was also the cell in front of the woman or behind the woman that took this picture. So that's why they think it was this guy.
Okay, that makes sense.
So he's often seen kind of like lurking around his cell. When people see him, he's just this like white ghostly apparition, and you can kind of just see his like little beady eyes.
Ugh.
Yeah. When visitors or staff walk by his cell, they often report feeling a cold spot or getting chills down their spine. A person that was touring the area went up to one of the park employees when they were just on one of the tours, and they were like, hey, do you really think that the site is haunted? Like, what do you think? Like, you don't really work in the prison. You just kind of are working on the park. So what are you thinking? And this person claimed that the man looked at them in a very angrily way. And then,
angrily?
Is that a word?
Angry.
Is it just angry?
Yeah.
Okay, in a very angry way. And in an angry tone of voice, not an angrily tone of voice, this man said, and I quote, I hear voices and shouts. I hear my name called to me almost every night when I'm working here alone.
Oh, okay.
And with how annoyed this man's response was, it actually made this person believe more that this place was haunted.
Yeah.
Because he was kind of like, what do you think?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I fucking deal with this shit every day of my life.
I hate it here.
I walk down this path and I hear my name being called from nowhere. What do you want me to do? With a tear in his eye.
Oh.
That's what I would assume.
Yeah, that was a good recreation you just did there.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I like that.
Thanks. An assistant park manager named Jesse Torres also tells a story of being in the museum one morning, which is located where the main cell once was. And he heard someone yell to him, "Did you get it?" So he was like, What are you talking about? And he thought it was a coworker. So he's like walking all around the museum looking for this coworker who yelled something at him. And he went to the back office to talk to them. There's no one there. And he quickly realized that there was absolutely nobody in the museum at all with him. And he was just alone.
That's not a good realization.
So I don't know what they wanted him to get, but it was something.
Did you get it? No, I just got scared. That's all
I just
got
here to work. What did I get? I peed my pants. Diarrhea. Sorry, this is just me now. I'm talking. So aside from the spooky, eerie vibes that this place gives off, there is also the spirit of a female inmate that likes to sing in the visitor area in the early morning.
I dig it.
Kind of cute.
It is cute.
There's also a ghost named Johnny, and he lives in the gift shop. And he's known for turning the lights on and off. He likes to knock things off the shelf. He also does this really fun little thing where he will take the coins out of the cash register, throw them up in the air, and then they land right back in the drawer.
Oh, interesting.
In front of everybody. So people have seen this happen.
It's a little trick and treat.
He's just a silly, goofy guy.
He's just trying his hardest to entertain the masses.
There were also a few reports. I thought this was kind of interesting. Of paranormal occurrences back when the building was a high school.
Okay.
So this one girl that attended the school claimed that while she was eating lunch outside, a young man walked up, sat down right next to her while she was eating lunch. And then the second another one of her classmates approached her, she turned her head to look at the classmate, turned back.
He was gone.
The guy was gone.
Of course.
There was also a teacher at the school that refused to be on the grounds after dark because of a quote unquote mysterious experience that he had that he refused to ever discuss.
Oh, okay. Honestly, what a great way to get out of overtime.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I had a mysterious experience. I can't really elaborate on that, but I cannot work nights anymore.
I'm so sorry. Once it turns 5 p.m. and the sun starts to go down, I have got
to
go.
I have to go home and get a martini in me.
They're like, there's a parent-teacher conference. No.
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 That's after 5 p.m.
We're going to have to do that another time.
Once again, need to be at home with a martini in my hand by then.
I feel that, though.
Me too.
So if you want to go visit the Yuma Territorial Prison State Historic Park, it is opened every day from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. And on the last Saturday of October every year, they do a special ghost tour where you can hear all the behind-the-scenes experience from the people that work there. And you get to go into areas that you might not get to go.
We should go do that.
We should absolutely
That'd
go
be
do
really
that.
Fun. Yeah, it's not far from where my dad lives.
I mean, I would figure because like I talked about Tempe. He lives in Tempe.
Yeah.
So I'm down. I think
I'm
we should
so
do
down.
It.
That'd be super fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that is
book
the...
Book it.
Book it. Jay, Liston, you heard it here. So we're going to go there this year, guys. And you should also go there if you're in the area, the Yuma Territorial Prison State Historic Park.
That's quite the mouthful.
I know. I really don't want to say it again. So
so we got to wrap this up. I liked it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
What a fun little thing. Yeah, I've been there before. It's a pretty cool area.
Yeah.
One of my favorite movies is 310 to Yuma. So
yes,
you got to dig it. Know where we need to go?
Where?
Bisbee. Bisbee is fun.
What's Bisbee?
Bisbee, Arizona. It's like an old gold mining town.
Ooh.
Very fun. Went there on a field trip. Loved it.
Is it spooky?
It's spooky.
Oh,
it's spooky.
Oh, it's spooky.
Girl, you already know it's spooky.
Arizona has got a lot of spooky things.
Yeah, it's all
happening.
The like the gold rush bullshit. Mm. And like I think because there's so much land there and there's a lot of, you know, Native American lore and all that stuff. There's just a lot happening.
Yeah, and the Wild West and the desert. I don't know. It all just has spooky vibes.
Yeah,
and then you also lived there for so long, and you're spooky.
I'm spooky as hell, bitch.
So makes sense.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's round this out with a listener story.
Fuck yeah.
From Caitlin J.
Hi, Caitlin.
And Caitlin says, okay, so let me start this out with saying I'm cursed and I blame you.
You, Cassidy, I think.
No, you, I think, is the royal, like us.
I don't know. We'll see.
My apartment is definitely haunted, no matter what my boyfriend tries to tell you. I see shadows walking across the door at night, and my dog will notice them, too. The sightings started about the time that I started listening to your podcast. But lately, I've been having more and more problems sleeping than normal. But that's just a start. Within the last week, I have blown a tire going 80 on the interstate. My charging port on my phone broke, and my phone cracked overnight with no explanation of why. And just last night, my water heater blew up.
Oh, no.
This does a little bit feel like our fault. I have been waking up with more and more bruises after the worst nightmares I've ever had since I was a child.
Oh, no.
I told my boyfriend I think that I'm cursed, and he does not believe me. He says that I'm just freaking myself out, and it's just a coincidence that all this is happening to me at the same time. I'm just saying I don't think it's bad timing. Maybe I'm just straight up cursed. Anyway, wish me luck, as I can't even begin to guess what's going to happen next. Love you both so much, even though you cursed the hell out of me. Caitlin.
Oh, no. That just felt like an attack a little bit.
She said that she loves us.
Oh, no,
so much.
That's true.
She loves us.
How long ago was that?
That was sent November 23, 2023.
Okay. Caitlin, can you reach out?
We need an update.
We need to know if you're okay.
We need an update, Caitlin. We need to know.
Are you okay? Please let us know now.
So please hit us up, Caitlin. You know how to reach us.
I'm so sorry.
So sorry about all that. Also, totally been there.
100% blame Cassidy for that. Not me.
Why me?
Because
we work together.
But I'm not the one that has the hauntedness.
Fine.
You have that.
Oh, I also want to say hi to Elle. Thank you for your newest nice little message. Oh, our friend from India.
I love Elle.
You're the sweetest. I love our little correspondences. Thank you for sending that. Oh, and you guys, if you're still listening, which you better fucking be.
Yeah.
We're going to be on the next Let's Not Meet live stream. So make sure you keep an eye out for that.
Oh, yeah.
There's some other big names that are going to be on there, too. So make sure you guys check that out.
Yeah, we do that we've done that.
Every year for the last 3 years, yeah. I think. Yeah. But thank you guys so much for listening. Make sure you go leave us 5 stars wherever you're listening. If you want to find our Patreon or any of that stuff, you can do that at dtkpod.com/support. And most importantly.
Wait.
What?
Most importantly. Make sure you're not getting tricked on the internet with AI.
We're not robots.
Sorry, we glitched.
Real. But yeah. Make sure you keep that front door locked.
Make sure you keep that mind open.
And keep drinking the Kool-Aid. Well, it's weird. There's no Sydney to yell at us. Whoa.
Oh, that's not what she sounds like. Sorry. So I couldn't do it.
I've had lots of people obviously critique the way that our voices sound, but they're
what? Us?
If they're fake people, they literally cannot come to your restaurant, to your store, to right. your event, to your whatever, you know? So it's like, what's the point at that point?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, great. Thanks.
I tried to get you out of it. Like, I was trying to get this. Wait.
You're a bitch.
I'm not going to post it. But
Jesus Christ.
I was trying to get, like, just the leaves. Oh, that was funny.